Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
Well, good morning, City Place. It is so good to be with you. And can we just appreciate Pastor Damon and Taisha? I love them. Pastor Damon is somebody I talk to on a regular basis, and so I feel like I know you, even though you probably don't know me, and we pray for you guys often, and we're very, very thankful for the relationship that we have with them. Church planting is no joke, I'll tell you that, and so anybody who's willing to bring their family across the country and to plant in a new place and get things going, it takes the grace of God, the goodness of God, and you have two world-class leaders leading your church, and let's give honor where honor is due. And let me pray. Let's pray for them even now, just believing that God will refresh them where they are, that they come back filled with vision for what God wants to do in and through you and through City Place Church. Father, we just thank you for Pastor Damon and Taisha. Lord, we love them. We honor them, God. I honor the sacrifice that they have made bringing their family here, Lord, and plowing new ground. God, I thank you for these beautiful people who are surrounding them and encouraging them, God. And we pray today that wherever they are, even in this moment, that they would have a sense of your presence, a sense of your grace over their life and over their family and over the future of City Place, God, that you would give them vision, that you would fill them with fresh faith as they return, God, that they would just come bursting with what you've deposited within them. God, we thank you for them. Pray that you bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I tell you what, I love Orlando too. And I'm one of the few people, maybe you are, that I recognize UCF's national championship from a couple years ago. So anything to strip Alabama from just a little bit of glory, I'm all about that. And so I love college football. I'm actually an Ohio State fan living. Praise the Lord. I hope I didn't just lose you. But I'm a Buckeye living in a Texas world, and so it's kind of crazy. We are now living in College Station, Texas, which competes with UCF, by the way, for trying to catch you in terms of the largest university in the country. So you've got still eclipsed us. But we're enjoying College Station, Texas A&M, the Aggies. So we have three kids. Heidi and I have been married for almost 22 years. It'll be 22 years this summer. And we've got, listen to this, you got to pray for me after this. We have a son who's turning 16 this month, a daughter who just turned 14, and a six-year-old. Going, two teenagers. Good Lord, have mercy. It is, yes, life is good, having lots of fun. And for many years, and this is my connection with Pastor Damon and Taisha, is through Wave Church. I'm sure you know Pastor Steve. And I was on staff for many years in the church down in Virginia Beach, and that's where we really just connected. And when we moved to Ohio several years ago and just kept being in touch through good times and through challenging times and all the rest, I appreciate your pastor and his encouragement, his wisdom, and his strength. And so one more time, let's just appreciate Pastor Damon Taisha. And then we'll get going. I've got a message I've been praying about. Praying for you guys, and even thinking about what you've been talking about, you in 5 years, and that part of vision, and what a great city, Orlando, to be in when you start talking about vision, because literally it's a city that's been built up around a vision, and everywhere you go in this city is a daily reminder of what happens when vision unfolds and becomes a reality, and even for your own life, as you start praying and thinking about, God, what do you want? What's the vision you want to bring through my life? That, man, it's amazing what God can do when we yield to him, when we start to ask those questions and get his vision working in and through us. And so I believe that today's message will be a compliment to what you've been hearing over the last several weeks, and that it's just kind of putting legs to some of those things with, and just in terms of one word today that we're really going to focus on, and it's participation. And we're going to take a look at Philippians chapter 1, just the introduction, verses 1 through 11. Well, let me pray for you before we get going, and then we'll just jump right in. Father, we thank you today for your word. We pray that it will do everything you've desired for it to accomplish in our lives. God, that you would anoint our hearts to receive. You would anoint our ears to hear that very thing that you have for us. You know every person here. You know every experience they have had. you know, the joys, you know, the struggles, you know, everything in between. And God, I pray that there would be a sense of your presence, a sense of your goodness, a sense of your grace. And Lord, I thank you for each and every person here under the hearing of your word. And we do believe that it is alive, it is active, and it will accomplish. It won't return void. It'll accomplish what you desire for it to accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to jump right in. I'm going to read to you Philippians verses 1 through 11. Then we'll just kind of break it down a little bit. This is Paul writing with Timothy. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus to all the saints in Christ Jesus who were in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for all of you in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and the defense of the and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, there is a whole lot there. And what, just to give a little context to what Paul is doing here, Paul's writing a letter, and some of his letters are like challenge and correction letters to churches, and he puts in there, I, Paul, apostle, and he starts to put his credibility. This is why I'm telling you what I'm about to tell you. I'm an apostle from God, so I have the authority to speak into this situation of whatever it is that he's correcting. But it's a little bit different in the book of Philippians. Paul's actually talking to friends. He's got a great relationship with the church at Philippi. He loves them dearly. They were partners from the very first that Paul talks about. They were always engaged with him in the journey of faith and advancing the gospel, and they had just a wonderful relationship. And so Paul is talking with them and just saying, I want to, as a friend, I want to encourage you, and there's some stuff going on. I want to kind of help you through it a little bit. And so you have that backdrop. He's also dealing with, in context, that church in Philippi was part of the Roman Empire. They had a lot of pressure happening, and Paul also was writing this letter from prison. And Paul wants to help them to know you're not in this journey alone. The same pressure that you're feeling externally, I'm feeling because I'm already in prison by the same people who are about putting the pressure on you. And so Paul wants to help the church at Philippi, and as a friend, so he doesn't go from the apostle standpoint. He does something he doesn't normally do in his writing. He says, I, Paul, and Timothy. And most likely, Timothy was there with Paul. Paul's dictating to Timothy, not in all of these letters, but in this one, it's probable that Timothy was the one who actually took the dictation and wrote down the things that Paul was saying to encourage him. So I want to go and jump in. So as we talk about this, you got one, Paul's talking to friends, people he knows and loves and wants to help them on the journey. And two, they're facing a similar circumstance that Paul is wanting to help them navigate and to give wisdom and perspective to it as well. And so let's jump in. We're just going to go line by line a little bit and talk through. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus. So first is just identifying, first and foremost, hey, we're Jesus's. We're the Lord's. We're not identifying with the Roman government. We're not identifying with the system of humanity. We are his. We could probably stay there a long time, but we're going to keep moving. Then he says, bondservants of Christ Jesus to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our fathers and the Lord Christ Jesus. So a couple things Paul's setting the stage. It's kind of a setup for him. He's setting the stage of what he wants to hit with this idea of unity. And he says, for all the saints, everybody. Can you say all with me? All. That's all the saints, including the overseers, including the deacons. Everybody's included in this. Nobody's exempt. Nobody's outside the conversation. We're all in this together. Paul's addressing here. He's going to get to a spot of unity. eventually in the conversation. She's, it's all of us in this together. And I think the other thing that's interesting here, we have three mentions. Bondservants of Christ Jesus, all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, and then grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Christ Jesus. Three times in the first two verses. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I think Paul's trying to make a point. Who's this about? Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about stuff. It's about Jesus. He's bringing to preeminence who Christ is. He's bringing, again, to the forefront the whole reason that they're in this in the first place. It's because of Jesus. And so whatever he's about to address, he's reminding them, hey, it's not going to exclude anybody. All of us, at the end of the day, hey, this is about Jesus. And so as I'm about to hit the things I'm going to hit, I want to remind you we're all in this together. We love each other. I'm your friend. I'm your pastor. And I'm going to help us as a friend would help a friend to do this in the right way. And so Paul's addressing the challenge, the pressure, but he's also going to hit on some behavior stuff down the road as he moves forward. And then he hits on grace and peace to you. And I want to touch on that for just a moment before we move on. First comes grace, then comes peace. How many of you are thankful this morning for the grace of Jesus Christ in your life? And we can't do what we do without grace. And grace has an amazing work in our hearts and lives. It's experienced grace, the favor, the unmerited favor of God that we don't deserve. It's experiencing his mercies that are new every morning. And then there's experiencing an empowerment. That grace brings an empowerment to your life and to my life, to our lives, to do what God has called us to do. So it's not just grace to have felt goosebumps and feel good about ourselves. It's a grace to empower you to live the kind of life that God has called you to live. And out of that grace will come peace. And right now, if you don't have peace in your life, man, you've got to come back to the place of grace. A great place of ease. We're not striving. We're not pushing. God, I'm going to rest in your grace today. And I'm going to have peace in my life forever. I can walk in your grace. I can walk in your peace. But first we have grace. And out of that grace that God has given us flows peace. And so there's a whole lot packed into those couple verses. We're going to carry on. And this is where I really want to focus the bulk of our time this morning. Philippians 1:3-5, it says this, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for all of you in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Thinking about that, Paul's saying, listen, in view of this, your participation in the gospel, in other words, Paul's reminding what has aligned our hearts, what has aligned our lives is our participation in the gospel. I think sometimes we think of the gospel as just something we receive, right? We receive God's grace, his forgiveness, his goodness, his redemption, all of those things. We're on the receiving end of the good news of Jesus Christ. We're on the receiving end of the gospel. And for some, they might say, well, I'm good now. Like, I'm forgiven. My life is good. I'm set. I'm going to heaven. Like, I'm done. I'm set. I'm good. But Paul's reminding all of us this morning that it's not just the passive receiving element of the gospel, but that's there where we just receive. Once they received, Paul said, from the very beginning, the moment you received, you began participating in the gospel with me. And so what does it mean to participate in the gospel? And a couple things. I think, one, we've got to understand and realize that if God's wanting us to participate in something, there's somebody else who doesn't want you to participate. Like, we live life opposed. There is an enemy. There is someone who doesn't want you actively participating in the gospel. And so he'll bring everything he can into your life and into your thinking to try to prevent you from participating in the gospel. And so here are some things that can keep us from participating in the gospel. Number one is shame. Well, I'm not good enough. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the mistakes that I have made. You don't know the things that I've dealt with in my life or in my family or in my relationships or in my marriage. You don't know. And so I carry this shame, and it's the enemy wants us to keep living in shame so we don't participate in what God wants us to participate in, the gospel. And so he'll bring shame into our life. He'll remind us that maybe we don't feel like we're qualified enough. Here's what I love about God. He is the master at taking the unqualified and qualifying them. He's the master at taking things that would confound the wise, foolish things, and bringing them to a place where he's using. If he can use me, I promise you he can use anybody. God has a way of qualifying us even when we don't feel like we're qualified. So what do? We just got to fight those voices, regret. God, I live my life with regret. I can't move forward because this weight of regret that's holding me back. And the heartbreak that regret can bring. And then it's sin. The Bible talks about the sin and the weight that can keep us from moving forward. Things that we just haven't brought yet to God. And who's going to remind you of those things? The enemy. And so what do we have to walk in? What? Grace and peace. And finally, hurt. This is a big one for church. If you've ever been in a church context and you've been hurt or wounded in that context, it's hard to recover from sometimes. I remember for my wife and I, we moved from Toledo, Ohio, down to Virginia Beach, Virginia. And for the first year, literally, we just sat on the back row, and I think we cried a lot. But God just had to get some stuff out of our heart so he could take us to our future. But the enemy, shame, regret, sin, hurt, whatever he can bring, he'll bring it to try to keep you and to try to keep me and to try to keep us from participating in the gospel. So, what do? One, you gotta recognize the lie. And Paul later on in Philippians will give us kind of like a litmus test of our thinking. And he says, examine the way that you think according to these things. If it doesn't line up with that, you know where the source is coming from. So your homework is to go back and read Philippians 4. You find out what that litmus test is all about. So Paul's helping us. Hey, if you identify where it's coming from, you know it's a lie. And now how do we deal with a lie? We just deal with the truth. And the truth is you are forgiven, you are set free, you walk in grace. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. No matter what thing you think is going to hinder you from being able to participate in the gospel, the way that God desires for you to participate, the blood of Jesus has redeemed all of those things. And so we can say, God, I'm not listening to the voice of the enemy. So what do we do to participate? So first we got to understand the moment we start thinking, God, I want to participate, all these things are going to surface. And so we got to shut those things down, and then we got to start making the choice to say, God, I will participate. I'm not going to allow what the enemy wants to do to keep me from moving forward in what you have for my life. And so I'm going to choose to put those things aside. Now I'm going to choose to participate in the gospel. We can do that in five ways. Here's number one. We choose to grow. This is exactly what you guys have been talking about, you in 5 years. You in 5 years is going to look different because of one word, intentionality. Having a vision. Being intentional. Guess what? We do not grow without intentionality. And so one of the ways that we can participate in the gospel is say, God, I'm going to choose to grow spiritually. It means that while we put verses up on the screen for us, that we encounter our Bible more than just on Sunday morning. And we open it more than just in this 1.5 hour window of honoring God with our life. We actually have a life-giving relationship with God's word, not just on Sunday, but every single day. We're saying, God, I'm choosing to grow. Now, I've been in ministry for a long time, and I have yet to have anybody come to me and say, Pastor Jason, you know, this month I have chosen. Now, I'm sure you're out there. If that's you, man, well done. This is amazing. But I've chosen to sit down with the book of Hebrews this month and go line by line and pull it out and to exegete what is there and to pull and to draw just line by line every day, line by line. I've yet to have somebody come to me and say, that's what I'm going to do. What we have to do is say, you know what, God, I'm just going to choose an intentional route. I'm going to choose a path of intentionality when it comes to your word. I'm going to find a plan. And maybe it's reading the Bible in a year, or I'm just going to devote myself every single day to chew on what you have for me. And a lot of times it's not just the quantity, it's the quality of what you read. God can give you a rhema word, a word in season for your life, just with a little. I think sometimes if we would just read a little and chew on that for a long time, you're going to actually grow a little bit more than just reading a lot. Now, God's word is alive and active. It's going to do what it's going to do in your life. So read all you want, but take some time to just chew on some stuff for a little bit too. But say, God, I want to grow. I want to grow in my relationship with you. So be intentional about God's word. Then be intentional about prayer. This is how we grow. God, I'm gonna pray. I'm going to have an ongoing relationship, an active relationship with your word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek you on a daily basis. I'm going to set aside a time. It's kind of like when you're in a relationship. You know, I'm married to my wife. I have a ring. It tells people I'm married. Wherever I go, I'm married to her. There are times when we are apart, yet we're together. And there are times when we are really together. So you have to take time. So like, it's our relationship with God. You are a believer in Jesus Christ. You have a relationship that is alive and ongoing all the time. That's not being broken. That is an ongoing relationship. But there are seasons within that relationship where you got to say, you know, I got to be intentional about getting away with the one I love and spending devoted, intentional time to build our relationship, to take it maybe to the next level, or just keep a level of intimacy there, to just be intentional. How do we grow? By being intentional. By being intentional about his word, by being intentional about praying, seeking his face, and also just being intentional about worship. And some of the greatest moments of growth happen in worship. In this corporate setting, absolutely, the magnified presence of God. I mean, there was a tremendous sense of God's presence this morning. But also in your own personal life of just getting, I can't tell you the amount of times when I've been in worship and God said, hey, Jason, you got to deal with that. I go, oh, maybe didn't see that one coming. Whoops, okay, but I'm going to deal with it. But it's, sometimes we say, well, I don't want to worship because I've got this shame and this guilt. That's, no, listen, the greatest lesson we can learn is God already knows. Isn't that, you're not surprising him. When you come into his presence and we're a little bit dirty. He's saying, come on, just go wash off. My blood can cover that. And so don't be afraid to come into his presence and allow him to do his work in your life. We want to commit to grow. God, how do I participate in the gospel? We commit to grow. The second thing is that we commit to connect. And that's connecting at this level here. It's also connecting at a level of relationship outside of the four walls of church in a small group context of building life and doing life together and loving in relationship. It's getting connected. You know, when I was a teenager, and boy, I feel this now because I'm a father of a teenage son and a teenage daughter. Oh, Lord, help me. It is amazing. But I remember telling my mom and dad, well, listen, people don't impact me. Like, I make my own decisions. Like, they're not influencing me. I might be influencing them, but they're not. And I come to see the wisdom now of what my mother was saying all these years later. To go, because this was the reality. And I can name the names. That if I was hanging out with this group of people, my life was on this trajectory. And if I was hanging out with this group of people, my life was on this trajectory. Listen, all relationships, our connections matter. Now, we want to participate in the gospel. We got to have the right kind of connections in our lives. And we've got to know, hey, we've got to have people who are for what God is doing in our lives, who want to see you flourish in that God-ordained relationship, who want to see you move forward in all the things that God has for you. It's getting those God kind of connections that are going to take you to the future that you desire. So we want to commit to grow. We participate by growing. We participate by connecting. We participate by serving. I'm going to tell this little story because sometimes we think serving, I just want to serve in, you know, this is what, but pastor, this is my gift. Well, listen, every pastor I know, our desire is that you would identify your gift and be able to serve in that spot. However, there are some times when we just have to have the whatever it takes kind of a spirit that we say, I don't know that that's my long-term gift, but sure, I'll give it a go. We'll see how it goes. I remember this was my first level participation back in Virginia Beach, and they asked me to be the host team leader for the 8:30 service. And I said, sure, I was in grad school doing stuff, and I remember meeting with the pastor, and he said, listen, I was so busy, we wanted to do more, but we couldn't really logistically, and he really freed me. He said, just find one thing to do on a Sunday and make it better than it's ever been. And I thought, well, I can give that a go. And so it was host team. Did I aspire to be forever the host team leader? No. Did I feel like that was my gift? No. Was that what was put in front of me? To participate in the gospel? Yep. Did I step through that door? Absolutely. And I wouldn't be standing here today had I not. I believe that. So sometimes serving isn't always stepping into the end game. It's stepping into the opportunity that will eventually get you to the end game of what God wants to do in our lives. And it's just saying, God, you know, I'm willing. I'm a willing heart. I'm willing to serve. I want to get engaged. Thinking about Easter coming up. Thinking about all the people to be reached. Thinking about this community and all the areas. Oh, listen to this. You are so unique. There is nobody on the planet who has the set of experience, skills, stories that you do. Who came from where you came. Who experienced life the way you have, or the paradigm of life the way that you've experienced it. No, but no one on the planet has that collection but you. You are unique. You are gifted. And there is gold on the inside of you. The key is, let's share the gold. Don't hold out. Let's say, God, I want to serve. I want to participate in the gospel. You mean I can host somebody? I can set up a room? I'm in. I love it. I'm for it. Let's do it. We serve together. The next one is sow. How do we participate? We sow. And actually, in this context, Paul is commending the Philippians. Now, he said, from your participation from the very beginning. But if you go further, Paul commends them specifically for a very practical gift of support to the ministry, to Paul. So the Philippians church, the church at Philippi, they didn't just support with like, God, we're praying for you, Paul. And they did. And they sent people to encourage Paul. And they did. They also sent monetary gifts to Paul. They sowed. They took their resource and they sowed. They got behind the vision. So Paul was commending them here in this first part broadly for their participation in the gospel, but he's not forgetting what they had just done for him. And this letter is in part a response to his friends for the gift. Paul said, nobody's done it like you. No other church has seized the opportunity the way you guys have seized the opportunity to partner with me in the gospel in this way. Paul saying, thank you, friends. So how do we participate in the gospel? We grow, we connect, we serve, and we sow. It's part of the process. It's part of participating in the gospel. And then the final one is that we share. We have been so blessed to have a relationship with Jesus. And it's a relationship that other people need. It's a relationship that there are people walking on the streets of Orlando today who are in desperate need of a Savior. And it's our job to participate in the gospel. It's our job to share the hope that we found in Jesus Christ. It's our job to think about and pray for and believe for people that God has brought into our world. How do we participate? God, help me see what you see. Help me see that life the way you see that life. Help me understand what they're walking through. Help me have the wisdom to be able to speak life into that situation for them. You know, in our church, we have done this thing we call 4-hour. And for 2020, we've chosen asked everybody in the life of our church to find 4 people that you're believing for in 2020. And we wrote down their names. We got over 770 names of people that we're praying for in 2020. And we pray for them. We put them up on our wall in a discreet way so they like, oh, hey, what am I doing up there? You know, not like that, but to just as the reminder, God, we got to participate in the gospel. We have to share what you are doing in our lives. You know, and don't be this kind of Christian. You guys, have you ever seen the Muppets? I'm dating myself a little bit. But you remember like these guys? Some Christians are a little bit like these guys. This is what they did. They sit up in the balcony.
You see that? Horrible.
What are they doing? They're mumbling and grumbling and complaining. About who? Everything. The people who are in the game. Where are you seating? In the balcony. You're not doing anything, but you have the loudest opinion. I'm going to tell you what I told my teenagers. Zip it. Hey, at least get in the game and have something to say. Instead, sometimes
why do we laugh in church? Why is worship so loud?
Come on, just get in the game. I promise you this, it'll change your perspective. The things that maybe you thought, well, why would we do? Maybe you'll know the why. You get in the game. Probably is a why. Just saying. We got to participate in the gospel. Participate in what God wants us to participate in. I'm going to end with this thought. Because here's what will happen the moment you say, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to get in the game. I'm going to participate in the gospel. Man, the enemy will bring his voice of condemnation to try to halt you in your tracks. So what do? Just go to the next verse. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Say, devil, I'm not done yet. God's not done working on me just yet. And what is Paul confident in? Paul is confident in the relationship he has seen in them from the very beginning, through thick and thin, through trial, through tribulation, through struggle, through victory. He's watched their journey of faith, and they have progressed. And Paul's saying, man, I'm confident. Guys, listen, I know you. I'm confident you're going to be okay. Like, I'm writing this from prison. You're facing persecution. We're going to be okay. But I'm even more confident in his great work in you than I'm confident in the work that's behind you. And Paul's just reminding, guys, listen, God's not done. Don't get discouraged. He's going to work in you. If you participate, and I think he couples these things together for a reason. Because we can accelerate the work of God in our life as we participate in the gospel. You want to put yourself in a position of faith? You get out there and start sharing your faith with somebody. You're going to be praying a little bit more. Oh, God, help me. Help me, help me. God gets you in a position where maybe you're not fully comfortable. You're going to, God, I'm stretched in you. I'm participating in the gospel, and the work of God begins to accelerate in my life. Why? Because it has to. Because I need more of that grace deposited in my life so I can live in peace. And so this morning, I just want one word, participation. One encouragement to you. Come on. Too many souls to win. Too many lives to change. too many marriages to be healed, too many people to come off addiction, too many sons and daughters to come back to Jesus and to be lifting up his name. Too many reasons for us not to participate in the gospel. So I want to encourage us, church, come on, let's say, God, I'm all in. Don't let me out. I want in on what you want to do in Jesus' name.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.